My brothers and sisters, when you and I were baptized, what happened to us? Were we initiated into the Catholic, that is, universal church? You think? Not sure. Did we become heirs of the kingdom of God? Yes, okay. Did we become a child of God and a sister or brother to all God's children? Yes. Were we all anointed as Christ himself was anointed, as priests, prophets, and kings in the world? Yes. Were we ourselves, in fact, transformed into disciples of Christ, called and commissioned to follow Jesus by faithful service? Yes, we were. So then, baptism is the sacrament by which all of us come to belong. Now, the need to belong resides at the very core of our being. Because without a sense of belonging, we would be lost. We would have no identity. And we would have no support or no one to help us understand. And no one to challenge or correct us whenever we needed that. And although the need to belong is with all of us, all our lives, it usually starts to really kick in big time during our adolescent years. We all know how important belonging to a group is to a teenager, right? Now, I would say that it's easily one of the most important aspects of young lives. But as we begin to grow and mature, our need to belong should start to mature as well. In essence, our sense of the group that we belong to begins to broaden, begins to expand. Just think about it. Our sense of belonging begins at home in the group that we usually call our nuclear family. Hopefully with a mommy and a daddy. And usually with some brothers or sisters, maybe. But then our family group begins to expand as we start to realize that grandparents, aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews are all part of our family group as well. Then, before you know it, we're headed off to kindergarten or school, and our group begins to grow even more. Later, we may join a ball team or a club at school. We might become part of Life Team or Edge at church. Later on, we may become an Aggie or something else. I don't know what. We could become then a part of some professional team or some other large work group. But as we get older, the group we identify with continues to grow and to expand. We might identify ourselves as Catholics, Houstonians, a Texan, maybe an American, an Italian, a Hispanic. But you see, the difficulty is that left to our own selves, our group identity, our sense of belonging never quite expands far enough. Just look at Joshua in our first reading today, or the Apostle John from today's Gospel, for example. Now, they both seem to be caught in a kind of groupthink tunnel vision that's rather typical of someone with a less mature sense of belonging. Remember, John was the youngest disciple. Significant. And in our first reading, it was a young man and a young Joshua who complained to Moses about those two prophets who weren't really considered part of the group. But Jesus and Moses both call them to a much more mature understanding of what it means to belong. Consider this story. Under a cultural exchange program, Alan Abramsky and his family in Roanoke, Texas, were hosts to a rabbi from Russia at Christmas time. They decided to introduce him to a culinary treat that was probably not available in his country. So they took him to their favorite Chinese restaurant. Now, throughout the meal, the rabbi spoke excitedly about the wonders of North America in comparison to the bleak conditions in his homeland. When they had finished eating, the waiter brought the check and presented each of them with a small brass Christmas tree ornament as a seasonal gift. They all laughed when Abramsky's father pointed out that the ornaments were stamped "Made in India." But the laughter subsided when they saw that the rabbi was quietly crying. Concerned, Abramsky's father asked the rabbi if he was offended because he'd been given a gift for a Christmas holiday. He smiled, shook his head, and said, No. I was shedding tears of joy to be in such a wonderful country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas gift made by a Hindu. Sisters and brothers, by our baptism, Jesus invites you and me to grow to full maturity when it comes to our need to belong. By our baptism, Jesus invites you and me to grow to full maturity when it comes to our need to belong. Baptism is Moses' dream come true. Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his Spirit on them all. You see, by our baptism, you and I are called and commissioned as priests, prophets, and kings to the hard work of discipleship. And the disciples of Christ always strive to be more and more like Jesus, who never pits one group against another. Jesus saw everyone, absolutely everyone, without exception, through the eyes of his Father, the eyes of love. And you and I, as disciples of Jesus, well, we must do the same. Consider this. A reporter was covering the conflict in the middle of Sarajevo, and he saw a little girl shot by a sniper. The reporter threw down his pad and pencil and stopped being a reporter for a few minutes. He rushed to a man that had picked up the child and helped them both into his car. As the reporter stomped on the accelerator, racing to the hospital, the man holding the bleeding child said, "Hurry, my friend, my child is still alive." A moment or two later, "Hurry, my friend, my child is still breathing." A moment later, "Hurry, my friend, my child is still warm." Finally, "Hurry, oh God, my child is getting cold." When they got to the hospital, the little girl was dead. As the two men were in the lavatory washing the blood off their hands and their clothes, the man turned to the reporter and said, "This is a terrible task for me. I must go and tell her father and mother that this child is dead. They will be heartbroken. The reporter was amazed. He looked at the grieving man and said, I thought she was your child. The man looked back and said, No, but aren't they all our children? Yes, they are all our children. They are also God's children as well, and He has entrusted us with their care. In Sarajevo, in Iran, or Iraq, in Africa, in Mexico, in South America. He's also entrusted our care to all of those who are here from other countries, regardless of the reason. Brothers and sisters, when our sense of belonging, our group, is limited to anything less than Jesus' group, then we have no choice but to separate ourselves, our own group, from the others. And seeing them as unworthy or insignificant or somehow less than ourselves, we tend then to treat them with contempt in one form or another. And that contemptuous behavior toward those who are outside of our group ranges from maybe just ignoring them or feeling sorry for them, all the way to dehumanizing them and seeing them as enemies who must be eliminated. In one way or another, those whom we perceive as being outside of our group get ignored, misunderstood, excluded, or marginalized. And the irony of it all is that those are the very ones that best fit Jesus' definition. He calls them the little ones. And what does Jesus in our gospel today have to say about those who mistreat or cause harm to the little ones? My friends, it is obvious throughout all of the scriptures that Jesus' vision and goal was to include the whole world without exception in His group. And to follow Jesus means that the hard work of discipleship is being true to Jesus' way. Not just in our words, but especially in our actions, and especially by our behaviors. We must be willing to pluck out the eye that refuses to see others without prejudice. We must be willing to cut off the hand that will not reach out in love and forgiveness to everyone, even those we perceive as being our enemies. And we must be ready to sever the foot that refuses to travel outside the boundaries of our own limited groups. Then and only then will we be truly free to discover what it means to be real disciples of the Lord, anointed by our baptism as priests, prophets, and kings to reach out in love, caring, and healing, and forgiveness to everyone. Everyone. Without exception.